fellow podcast listener, and welcome to the Pop Culture Pub Podcast. This is our Future of Comic Book Movies episode. My name is Chris Lockhart. I am your host this evening. Joining me on the line is a good friend of the podcast, Mr. Kevin Deesett. How's it going, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, everyone listening today? Unlike comics that have four walls, this podcast has no borders.
Excellent, excellent. So how is it down in the States at this time, like where you're at? Is it pretty warm?
It's warm. We actually had a little break. I think it was just yesterday. We had a quick rain. Yesterday or 2 days ago, we had a quick rain go through, and it dropped everything enough that it's comfortable.
Okay.
Some fans going are good right now.
Yeah. See, here it's a little bit cooler. It's been raining a lot. I'm hoping it'll get warm. But it's not been a warm summer here, unfortunately. It was, but then it got really cold. Well, not really cold, but cold. which is really unfortunate. So, the time of this recording, dear listener, it's the beginning of July. So, San Diego Comic-Con has not happened yet. I just wanted to stress that because some of the things we'll be talking about, by the time this episode is actually released, it might be around San Diego Comic-Con time, or just before, or maybe when you're listening to this, it'll be after San Diego Comic-Con, and you'll be scratching your head saying, why are those guys talking about that when they already said in San Diego this was happening? We are recording this pre-San Diego Comic-Con. I just want to stress that right now. Because I really think some of the things that we'll be discussing this evening, I think, will be addressed at the con this year. I'm almost certain of it. All right, so let's just roll right into it. And so our last episode, Kevin, you were on with me and Rich and Mike King. And we were discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it was a pretty good episode. Like it was a little over 2 hours because we also talked about Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, there was a couple of points that we didn't get to that I kind of forgot about, but I remembered after the fact. So I just wanted to talk about them now. And I hope I'm not sandbagging you here.
No, not at all.
Okay, so my first question to you, and put a little context to this, it was after Endgame. So I want to say it was sometime in May. I was watching one of those videos on YouTube. I think it was WatchMojo. And they did this list of the most shocking moments in recent movies or recent movie history. And there was only one entry from the Marvel Cinematic Universe that made their list. Can you guess what that was on their list? Like, for you, Kevin, what is the most shocking moment in the Marvel Cinematic Universe thus far?
So this article was after Endgame and it only had one from all 20-something movies.
Yes.
Was the article like all of film or the last 10, 15 years, or just superhero movies?
I would say the last 10, 15 years. It wasn't all of film, because like there was like Pulp Fiction wasn't in there. There was a bunch that wasn't part of this. So I'm thinking like, yeah, the last 10, 15 years.
Was it written by an 18-year-old?
Probably.
Yeah. Jeez, for just Marvel, my... Man. I mean, I would think... For that reason, if they're only going to pick one, I think people that didn't read Infinity Gauntlet and didn't have the history of it and didn't know what was coming would be most surprised that Thanos snaps, it happens, and that was the end of the movie for Infinity War.
Yes.
I think that the villain won would be their pick. If they're only picking one, that's my guess.
See, that would be my guess as well. Like, going into this video, that's what I was saying, and it wasn't. It was not on the list. The most shocking movie moment from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I believe it was WatchMojo, is the reveal that Peter Parker's girlfriend's or wannabe girlfriend's dad is a Vulture.
I mean, that's a great scene.
It was, but
the scene in the car is just so well done.
Oh yeah, no, don't get me wrong, it was fantastic. But the most shocking, if you're gonna have a Marvel entry, I totally agree with you, Kevin, because that's exactly where my mind went as well. It was the shock of the Avengers losing, half the universe dying, and Thanos just, you know, staring off into the sunrise or the sunset or whatever with a smile on his face, and then credits start rolling. To me, that was the most shocking moment.
And I would understand, hey, we're only going to pick one Marvel. Otherwise, this list could be all Marvel. I totally understand that. If they want to say we're only going to do one Marvel and one from this franchise and one from this genre, just so we don't have a list that's only about one part of film, I get that. But agree, I can't believe Infinity War's not it. Because if the writer of this said, well, I read Infinity Gauntlet, so I knew it was coming. Well, I've read lots of things and knew it was coming. That doesn't mean it's still not well done in the movie.
Yeah.
The reveal that Winter Soldier is Bucky could be on that list.
Yeah. But yeah, like, it just blew my mind because, like, with Infinity War, I've seen it, or I saw it in the theater 5 times, and two of those times, the one time I went with my wife and my daughter, and of course they're not comic book readers, so my daughter especially was like flabbergasted. Like, she literally said, "What was that? Like, that they can't end the movie like that." And I'm like, "Yeah, well, there is another movie coming, but you got to wait a year." And she was just floored by that. She's like, "Yeah, but they can't end it like that." And I went with one of my coworkers another time, and same thing. He's like, "Really? That's how they ended?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Yeah, but they lost." I'm like, "Yeah, that's the point. You know, this is like the Empire Strikes Back. You know, the good guys didn't necessarily win, you know?"
Yeah, and it's when my dad went to see it, because he'll call me after he's seen any Marvel movie.
Yeah.
He read comics when he was a kid, but he is not followed as an adult like I have. So he'll call up with questions or wanting clarification on things. He called me up after Infinity War and said, "You couldn't have warned me. You couldn't have prepped me for this." And then I have a friend in Brooklyn that he saw opening night, day, midnight, you know, whatever, the first chance he could.
Yeah.
And then saw it multiple more times with people, and as soon as he got to the ending, he stopped looking at the screen and started looking at who he was with, because he wanted to see their reaction to the ending. That was more entertaining than seeing the actual ending again, was seeing people react that didn't know what was coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I couldn't believe that was, like, I even left a comment. Normally I don't comment on YouTube videos, but I had to leave the comment. I'm like, seriously? Like,
because you're not a troll?
Yeah. I'm like, seriously, Infinity War, Thanos won. That is the most shocking moment. Like, even as a comic book reader, because, you know, a lot of, you know, when you think back, the Infinity Gauntlet actually opens with the snap. Like, it like, Thanos does it almost immediately. Like, I mean, there was the prelude.
Yeah, that's first issue.
Yeah, like, I mean, there was the prelude miniseries up to that, and he was in Silver Surfer, so you knew that he was moving towards that, right? But yeah, the first issue of Infinity Gauntlet is him snapping. So for them to move it to the end of the movie was, even for me, was kind of like, I expected it like maybe 3/4 of the way through. You know, like, I was expecting something, you know. But to end the way they did, and even like Captain America, you know, like, when... You know, when he's sitting there by Vision, and he says, "Oh God," and then you know, and you see Thanos again. Like, I mean, to me, that's Empire Strikes Back level of holy crap. You know, like, this is something big.
Well, and when they originally announced it as Infinity War Part 1, Part 2, I knew then. I said, "All right, Part 1 is Thanos snapping his finger." I knew that.
Yeah.
I said, "I know that's the break. But I don't know how you're going to do it."
Yeah.
And I want to see how you're going to do it. It's in a way, it's kind of like the comparison I make to pro wrestling. Listen, we know it's scripted. We know how this is going to end. I want to know how you get there, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to enjoy, seeing how you take this path.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, yeah, like at the end of Infinity War, you know, like I knew they were coming back. Like I knew, of course, Black Panther's not going to stay dead. Spider-Man's not going to stay dead, you know.
Oh, yeah, just you know, financially.
Like, yeah, like, you know, they've already said we are making sequels to these films. So, you know, they're coming back. But even, like, going into Endgame, I had no idea. Like, I figured, you know, time travel must factor into it. Like, Ant-Man and the Quantum Realm must factor into it somehow. But even, like, walking into Endgame, like, I remember, like, because I went with three of my good friends. And we went, I think it was the day it was released. And, or no, the day after. And, you know, looking at each other, we're like, ugh. We have no idea what's going to happen here. Like, we don't know what we're walking into. And the way they executed it was just fantastic. But anyway, I could keep going.
Oh, it's still one of the, you know, you think back to, and you being a longtime comic reader as well, like, think back to when you were a kid. There's not a chance in your mind you thought this would ever, ever, ever happen.
Nope.
Maybe they'd do a cartoon and it wouldn't be well done. But even that was stretching it for a maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So to have this was just absurd.
Yep. No, yeah, that is so true. Like, it's... And not just that, but, like, to be honest, like, I'm... And this is actually rolls into my second question, or my second point here. My second point is, what changes have the MCU made that are actually better than the comics? And are some of them worse than the comics? And in this instance, with Infinity War, what they did with this story actually, I think, is way better than the comic book. I mean, I love the Infinity Gauntlet, don't get me wrong. But it was written for a certain time. It was written to include certain characters that, unfortunately, you know, at the time, for legal reasons, so on and so forth, they couldn't include. You know, like Infinity Gauntlet, Silver Surfer played a huge part in it. Adam Warlock played a huge part in it. You know, Silver Surfer was tied in with the Fox deal, so they couldn't use him. And so on and so forth. So, you know, for what they had to work with, I actually loved what they did with these movies. Actually, probably more than I liked what they did with the comic book story. You know, like they had to adapt it to a point, but they had to change a lot in order to fit in with what they were doing cinematically in their own, you know, chunk of Marvel continuity, but at the same time, you know, make it accessible to other people that, you know, like my wife, who is not a comic book reader, who's not a comic book fan, can go into this movie and enjoy it for what it is.
Well, and you... The good thing for Marvel Cinematic, and one of the problems they might face depending on where they go next,
yeah,
is you don't have all the continuity and all the comics and everything beforehand. Now, granted, Marvel with the reboots and resets and stuff like that kind of got out of that problem for the comics as well.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the Infinity Gauntlet comic mattering and being the success that it was is how big it was. Everyone's here, except for the half that got snapped away, of course. But everyone is here. So, issue one, the snap. Issue two, everyone that's left teams up and goes after Thanos. Issue, what is it, four or five is all the cosmic ones. The Watcher, Galactus, the Stranger, Order and Chaos. Like, ones that you don't even see that Jim Starlin created, you know, 20 years earlier that everyone had forgotten.
Yep.
Just everyone comes into it, and it's such a love letter to everything that Marvel had done. But you needed, you know, all of the history, too,
mm-hmm.
for that to matter and to know all of that. You don't need that for the movies. You need your general public to be able to go in, understand, and enjoy it.
Yep.
Like, I shouldn't have to explain 20 years of continuity for someone to enjoy a movie. I should have to say, did you see the previous ones? And even if you didn't see all 20 now, you know, plus at this point, mm-hmm. here's the ones you need to see. You got to see, you know, the Avengers and a couple of others, and you'll understand Endgame and we can go.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think the streamline is one of the best things. Let's get rid of the excess, but also, I made the point in the previous podcast, they're not making superhero movies. They're making movies with superheroes, and mm-hmm. there's a difference.
Yep.
And they set out to make good movies first that just happen to have men and women in tights with powers.
Yep.
But you take away that, and you still got a good movie in every single one of them.
Yep. No, absolutely.
But you don't always have a good comic if you take away the superhero, the superheroics of it.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, the change, some of the changes that they've made, for instance, and I'm going right back to the beginning, Tony Stark, the end of Iron Man, him saying, "I am Iron Man," that was a stroke of absolute genius. And because there's always this, and it goes right back to the beginning of comic books. You know, this trope of, you know, like the hero has to have a secret identity. They have to, you know, have a day job, but they, you know, do the heroics on the side, and they're always juggling, you know, their responsibilities at home and, you know, trying to keep their identity a secret versus, you know, being a hero. And I love that Marvel just, like, with Iron Man, just threw that out the window. I was like, no. Because, like, they even, like, were, you know, when he was meeting with Coulson and Pepper and stuff, and they gave him the cue cards and what he was supposed to say at the press conference, and he was supposed to say that Iron Man's his bodyguard. And that's why, you know, I mean, that was the trope for years with Iron Man, was that Iron Man was always Tony Stark's bodyguard, and that's why he's always near Tony Stark when shit goes sideways, because he's protecting him, and you know, and then...
It's even how you got Rhodey into the comics as a feature player, to yeah. have him in the suit, standing next to Tony outside of the suit to yeah. keep the not scam, but, you know, to keep yeah. the story going.
But it's an old trope. It's an old way of thinking, you know, like back in the day, like, you know, when they were writing these comic books for kids, you know, like, it made sense. But now, it just, you know, like, why wouldn't Tony Stark just say, "Hey, I'm Iron Man," and just admit it? You know, and then he doesn't have to run around in secret, doesn't have to hide. You know, granted, you know, they're, you know, he doesn't have the rogues kind, you know, it'd be a little different for Bruce Wayne to say that, but, you know, Tony, you know, like, it's a change that can be made that works. And Marvel went for it. And I really applaud them for doing that. Because even, like, going back, like, that last episode I mentioned that I was reading the Heroes Return Iron Man with Kurt Busiek and Sean Chen, and that's, of course, the thing, is, you know, Iron Man's Tony Stark's bodyguard, and blah, blah, and he's always explaining away, you know, oh, you know, when Iron Man comes flying in, he's like, "Yeah, I had to get Mr. Stark away, and now I'm here to, you know..." And it just, a little eye-rolling, got a little ridiculous after a while. I love that Marvel just did away with that.
Well, and it's a thing that you can do in the comics that you can't do in a movie, but they found a way. In the comics, you can do, you know, the split-panel drawing. Spider-Man's one of the most famous, but every character's done it, where, okay, I'm in the costume, I have the mask on, but I can draw Peter Parker, I can draw Tony Stark as half of the face. For yeah. his internal monologue.
Yeah.
And us as the omniscient reader, I know Iron Man's Tony Stark. So I can know that character is there all the time, but you have to assume certain things for a general film audience. So you're right. They went with immediately Tony Stark, "Hey, I'm Iron Man." Okay, good. Now this problem that you have in the movies they don't have in the comics is you're hiring actors who do not want their faces covered the entire movie. Mm-hmm. So now I'm Iron Man. You can have him with the mask off in the rest of the Iron Man suit, so Robert Downey Jr. can show his face, and it works. Then you look at the other movies that they picked. Steve Rogers is Captain America. Well, everyone's known that from the beginning. So if he has his mask off, it doesn't matter. Bruce Banner is the Hulk. We all know that. Thor is Thor. He doesn't need a mask. It's almost like they purposely picked ones that, yes, many of them do wear masks when needed, but you don't need to, and it's okay. And I think the two best examples to give the mask back, in a way, unfortunately, are MCU. But you have, in The Amazing Spider-Man, there's a rescue scene of a school bus and a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And Spider-Man pulls off his mask and gives it to a little kid who doesn't know who Peter Parker is, so it's not revealing his identity, it's just some dude to this kid.
Yeah.
And he takes off the mask and says, put it on, it'll help you be brave. Oh my god, I got chills seeing that in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful thing. You just inspired a generation of children to put on a Spider-Man mask to be brave.
Yep.
No matter who they are, where they are in the world. And then the other one would be in Into the Spider-Verse, when Peter Parker's telling Miles, you have to wear a mask because that's how you protect the ones you love. It's not about you. It's about the ones you love. That's why you wear the mask. And yep. Those scenes made the mask so important. I was like, I understand the actors want to show their faces, but you just did a lot to show why these characters, you know, mm-hmm. fight crime in their underwear.
Yep. Well, yeah, and absolutely. For certain characters, like, for you know, not to give any spoilers, but that might be, who knows what's going to happen after Far From Home,
yeah.
the post-credit scene, or mid-credit scene. But, you know, that being said, like, for Spider-Man it works, but I'm just glad for the ones that, yes, like you said, that, you know, you don't need to know, they don't need to do that for Tony Stark. They don't need to do that for Thor. They don't need to do that for Cap. You know, like, they can say, you know, he is Steve Rogers, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I like the fact that it's all in the open with the MCU. For the characters that it works for Spider-Man, I totally understand keeping, you know, the secret identity. Same with, you know, on the Netflix series like Daredevil, you know, having Matt Murdock, you know, his identity being a secret, I get that. But the ones that don't need it, I'm glad that they're not doing that when they can just throw it out the window.
I mean, even Captain Marvel, she doesn't need a mask, but they got the one for in space or, you know, for certain fights.
Yeah. Because, like, and, okay, now to switch gears a little bit, one of the things with DC is the fact that they hold on to these old notions. And what I'm talking about is, like, say, Superman, for example. The Man of Steel movie, they had me in that movie right until the end of the movie. where you had Superman who didn't follow the traditional, you know, story of Clark Kent, where he, you know, went to school and he went to college, he became a reporter, blah, blah, blah. No, he, like, basically went on a journey. Like, he, you know, like, Lois Lane figured out who he was because she is that good of a reporter. She can do that. And she tracked him down to, like, he was, like, working at a diner in Alaska or something.
Yeah.
And then, like, to me, I thought that was brilliant. I was like, wow, they're kind of redoing Superman's origin with a modern spin on it. And to me, I was like, wow. Because that, you know, to me, I always thought it was silly. Like, one of my gripes with Superman is the fact that he has to be a reporter. Like, I understand needing to make money at the end of the day, but I mean, if you can literally fly all over the world and help people, why wouldn't that be your full-time job? Why wouldn't, you know, like, the United Nations, you know, help Superman with that? Like, why wouldn't he be like a global champion instead of just stuck in one city, you know, being reporter?
I think then you're into the Kill Bill Volume 2 deconstruction of Superman. You know, Superman is the real person, and Clark Kent is how he sees humans. So him dumbing it down almost is how, you know, this god from another world thinks of us. Now, that's not, you know, originally, obviously, it was, we need to make this a relatable character, you know, a common man. But now I think it's more coming down from the mountaintop. Like, I need to be Clark Kent. I need to have a job so I don't forget what it's like to be a normal person.
Yeah, I suppose, that is one way of looking at it. But for me, the way I'm seeing it it's like you have this power. Like, why? Like, I understand, like, back in the day, like back in, you know, 1938 when they created the character, you know, him being a newspaper reporter made sense because, you know, the newspapers, that was the main source of news back in those days. That was how people found out stuff. You know, it got to the newspapers first, and then, you know, it got printed and circulated. So it kind of made sense. But, I mean, nowadays everything's instantaneous. You don't really need that aspect of it. And, like, for, like I said, most of the movie, the Daily Planet, really, other than Lewis being in the Daily Planet, it didn't really factor into who he was, right? He was just a superhero. Like, he was just Superman. And to me, like, that's all he needs to be. And then they pull the switcheroo, and then all of a sudden he's got glasses, and he's showing up at the Daily Planet, and apparently you don't need a college degree or any kind of, you know, work. You know, he worked at a diner, and now he's a reporter for one of the, you know, biggest newspapers on the planet. To me, that was, I just rolled my eyes and, oh, here we go. You know, here I thought they were going to do something different. They were going to, you know, change it up for, like, a modern audience. But they didn't. They went back to the way it was always done. And to me, you know, and I'm not knocking it, but I just think, like, nowadays, like, I mean, we're in the 21st century. It's 2019. Why not change things up a little bit? And that's one thing I love about Marvel, is they seem to be willing to do that. They're willing to, you know, adapt for the times. I mean, it doesn't take away from where the characters come from. It doesn't take away from the stories that have been done. You know, but it's, like, these are movies. This is, you know, 2019. Like, you don't need Clark Kent anymore. So, you know, like, I'm not saying get rid of him altogether. I mean, if he wants to walk amongst humans, like, yeah, take that identity, sure. But shouldn't his full-time job be protecting the planet if you have that kind of power?
Well, and I mean, that's one of the problems with Superman being relatable anymore. I want to say he was around 52, yeah, but I'm probably wrong. But there was the Justice League's all together and they're fighting about something, and I believe as Batman said to Superman, the last time you inspired anyone was when you died. And it's such a heavy line, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah, I mean, what, you know, Superman should be no days off. Does he need to sleep? I don't know. I can't think of a comic where, you know, he woke up from a nap. You know, he could be mind controlled and, you know, some outside force affecting him to, you know, fall asleep, pass out, whatever, for, you know, the story. But it, you know, it's not like he, you know, oh, I just put in 12 hours saving the world, time for me to take a, you know, to go to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to happen. Whereas you do get the feeling with other heroes of, you know, there's time out of the costume, just necessity to go on living. You have to. You can't, yep, you know, stay awake 24 hours a day. But you don't get the personal thing with Superman. I think the last time was probably, last good time was probably John Byrne's Man of Steel reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And what was that, like mid-80s?
86, 87 maybe?
Yeah, Clark Kent gets the job at Daily Planet because he beat Lois to the story. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you beat the Pulitzer Prize winning top reporter in all of Metropolis to a story, then you're probably pretty good too.
Yeah.
So we at least got to give you a chance, put you on the payroll, see what happens here, see if you can hang. That made sense.
Yeah.
That Smallville is all of a sudden working for Daily Planet. Yeah, because he beat the best. If you can beat the best, then you deserve to be with the best. Totally made sense.
Yep.
Got it. I was all for it. But I mean, there's just so many problems in Man of Steel. There's certain things that I expect Superman to be, and none of those were in Man of Steel.
Yeah.
All right. He doesn't kill. He finds another way. You know, he saves bystanders. He doesn't let his dad tell him to not save people.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
But, and this might, just a, sorry, side thing that might take you into DC talk. I do see, I wrote something forever ago. It's called something like How Sherlock Holmes Taught Me to Enjoy Batman Again. and you can take this to the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie coming out soon. The characters are iconic, and as long as certain things hold, I don't care where you go from there. Batman's parents were killed in Crime Alley. He became Batman. Go wherever you want from there. Yep. As long as that's true, I don't care what else you do, but that part, I tell the story you want to tell, but that part has to be true. And I think you're seeing, whether it be Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, we'll throw Jared Leto in there, and the Joaquin thing intrigues me. Joker is becoming like Hamlet, almost. All these actors want to do their take and their interpretation. Mm-hmm. And I think the more and more we go get going with superhero movies, you're going to see that. There's some young 20-something-year-old actor who's going to be amazing as he gets more experience that in 10 years is going to go, I think I could do Iron Man. I think I could do my take on it, and I want the chance.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see that more and more with these characters as they become iconic and bigger. You know, we've got so many Sherlock Holmes movies and TV shows and everything else, and no one asks, well, how does the Robert Downey Jr. one tie into the Benedict Cumberbatch one, tie into Elementary, tie into... No, it's just Sherlock Holmes. As long as you get a few basic things, Moriarty, Watson, you know, super smart, you can tell whatever story. They don't have to all tie in together. I think as we get older and next generation, you're going to see that with Batman and the Avengers and everyone, that we're going to have these icons.
Yeah, and I really hope that is true, because, you know, like, one of the things that people have been saying, of course, is, like, you know, they can't do Iron Man ever again because Robert Downey Jr.'s not going to do it. You know, you can't have a different Wolverine, you can't have a different Captain America, but yeah, you totally could. You know, like, there's definitely times when you can recast. The only thing that might change it would be then it becomes not an MCU movie, right? It, you know, like, is there going to be a definitive end to the MCU where they're going to reboot and we're going to see, you know, different characters cast. You know, we're going to see the X-Men. We're going to see the Fantastic Four. Like, it's hard to say. Like I said, you know, with Comic-Con coming up, San Diego Comic-Con, I'm assuming we're going to find out a little bit more about the future of the MCU. From what the rumors that I've been hearing is that, In the case of the X-Men, it's going to be a while before they ever do anything with the X-Men, just because they want, you know, like, the Dark Phoenix just came out, you know, like, they want to let that kind of rest, and, you know, and before they move on with, you know, rebooting that.
I think before, even if it starts in Phase 4 and then Phase 5 would be an official, like, let's bring in the X-Men, you could have very little things start the next movie. You know, I don't know, pick any character that's got a movie coming out in the next phase, walking through New York City, and in the background there's spray paint that says, like, you know, mutants must die. You know, go home, muties, something like that. Random references. Oh, geez, we're landing in Wakanda, but there was this odd storm that came up out of nowhere on our radar and we don't know where it came from, and then just move on to the next scene. It could just be throwaway lines like that, that a general audience is going to say, okay, that's just a line, but your fans are going to know it's teasing. You could have that for an entire phase and not cast a single person.
Which Marvel has done. Like, they are good with that. Like it was Age of Ultron when they mentioned Wakanda for the first time.
There's a Winter Soldier, when they're placing Hydra has the giant helicarriers, they're going to target certain people. Stephen Strange comes up on that list. Yeah, we hadn't even officially announced the Doctor Strange movie or anything, but he was on the list of, like, these are potential targets.
Yeah, and that was weird because he had, like, unless his movie took place, even though it came after that, maybe it took place before that? Because I always wondered that. Like, because I knew Stephen Strange was mentioned in that film, but it's like, why isn't Doctor Strange yet? But I don't know.
No, and it depends on how far you want to take that out, because the Ancient One knew, you know, in Endgame, the Ancient One knew Stephen Strange was coming. How far does Hydra go? Do you want to take the Hydra that's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a whole different Hydra than the movies? You know.
Yeah.
There's lots of rabbit holes you could go down for that one.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's talk about DC. Like we've already mentioned a little bit about DC. The most recent news was, of course, that Ben Affleck's out as Batman. Robert Pattinson.
Pattinson.
Yeah, has that even been confirmed that he is the next Batman?
It is official now. Yeah, is it's he? Official. Okay. He hasn't come out and gotten, you know, a big press conference and photos and stuff like that, but it's as official as it can be without a parade.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, like, as far as I knew, that was still kind of up in the air, but, I mean, he might be good. Like, I'm not knocking the guy before I see him.
We've been wrong. I mean, everyone hated the idea of Michael Keaton. You know, let's go back to that. I'm willing to at least wait until there's some footage, something. I'm willing to give it a try.
For me, Michael Keaton, like, honestly, I didn't even know that he was cast at that time because I was only, like, 9. But Heath Ledger, when I heard he was being cast as the Joker, I thought that was a terrible idea. And I've went on, in our last episode, I also mentioned Chris Evans. Like, when I heard that he was cast as Captain America, I really didn't see him as Captain America. I was like, that's a terrible idea. Like, he was a good Johnny Storm, but he was no Captain America. And then I was, in both cases with him and Heath Ledger, I was completely wrong. You know, they both did amazing jobs. You know, unfortunately, we didn't get more from Heath because he passed away, but I'm sure, you know, he would have made that third Batman movie 100 times better than what it was if the Joker had been there.
Yeah, but with these examples, it proves, like, you got to at least give it a chance. Oh, yeah, maybe it'll work, absolutely. Maybe it won't, but you don't know until it's filmed.
Yeah, and I mean, Affleck, he was okay. Like, I didn't mind him as that version of Batman. He was okay.
Yeah, there's been better, there's been worse.
Yeah, so with Robert whatever his last name is, Pattinson. Yeah, I'm willing to give him a shot. Like, I mean, he may be phenomenal. Also, the guy who played Ezra Miller, is that his name? The guy who played Flash in the Justice League? Apparently he's gone now.
That's been such a mess, though, because there were rumors that he was only going to do the solo movie if he got to help with the script.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And then when they rejected his script, that's when I heard he bowed out. Like, he was like, yeah.
No. Yeah, and then they wanted to do Flashpoint as his first movie.
Yeah, and that's...
Flashpoint, you would build up like you built up Endgame. You don't just jump right into that.
And the beautiful thing about Flashpoint, like, honestly, that's something that they might consider doing with the MCU, like some sort of reset, because that would totally, you could use Flashpoint to totally reset the universe. So you could bring in like Robert Pattinson as Batman, and, you know, you get a different guy playing Superman, that sort of thing, like, because Flashpoint changes it. You know, like, they might have to do something like that with the MCU eventually. In order to bring the X-Men in, to bring in Flash, or not Flash, Fantastic Four, stuff like that. But yeah, with Flashpoint being the first solo Flash movie, no, you don't do that. And he was okay, like, don't get me wrong, I thought he was one of the better ones from Justice League, I think. Actually, there was really nobody from that movie that I thought was bad, you know, except for Cyborg, he was just meh. But the rest of the cast I thought was pretty good. I just don't know why they didn't just cast their TV Flash. I think, what's his name? Grant, what's his name? Grant?
Gustafson
or something?
Gustin.
He's a fantastic Barry Allen. I don't know why they didn't bring him into it and bring Stephen Amell.
Well, I think that goes back to, you know, Disney at least knows if all of our stuff is together, especially now with owning more, because I think you'll see a change with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Netflix shows and Fox as everything firmly gets under one umbrella over the next few years. I think you'll see more cohesion.
Yeah.
But DC's always been so separate. There is no reason that you should have had 10 seasons of Smallville and not had Tom Welling on screen on a movie screen as Superman in the 11th year.
Yeah.
He should have at least gotten a shot.
Well, but the thing with that, though, is I'd heard the rumor, and these are just rumors, was that he didn't want to do that. Like, he was like, no. No tights.
And
no
if he blood. Didn't, that's something entirely. But, I mean, Grant Gustin has been amazing on Flash. Yeah. He is a generation's Flash. And if they end it, then it should be end it because we're getting a Flash movie. And this thing you put all of your life into, here's your reward.
And same with Stephen Amell. Like, he went on record saying, I want to be in the Justice League. And they said, no. Like, the TV's different. And I don't get it. Like, you know, like, I mean, Marvel kind of made that mistake too, in a certain extent. You know, for example, like, why didn't they have Daredevil and Luke Cage come into the movies? Especially in Endgame, like, why didn't we see them there at the final battle? You know, there definitely was a missed opportunity in Age of Ultron. Like, you remember when the Helicarrier shows up and Nick Fury, you know, he's called some old friends. And, you know, and it's just like a ragtag of old S.H.I.E.L.D. guys working together. That was a perfect opportunity to have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. there.
Like, I mean, you don't even have to have it be such an acknowledgement. I always thought, you know, because one of the main excuses was, oh, how are we going to get everyone here? And then we'd have to explain to the movie audience who these characters were. Okay, fine. What if during any of the battles in Ultron, in Infinity War, in Endgame, some character is running through and happens to go by computer monitors, TV, whatever. We know, you know, for example, Black Widow has the monitors that she can talk to the team no matter where they are in the world or in space.
Yep.
You know, they had the security camera that when Scott Lang showed up appeared. And so obviously we have a feed. Imagine if that feed shows up and it says, oh my gosh, Thanos' forces are all over the world attacking, and there's people fighting back around the world. And on those screens, you see the Defenders, you see S.H.I.E.L.D., you see Runaways, you see Cloak and Dagger. Yep. Just small little things. And you don't even need to film new footage. You could just draw footage from the shows that pre-exist and be like, they're fighting all around the world against this army. But there's your little tease that there's other heroes out here, and pulls it all in for, what, like $10?
Yep, definitely. Yeah, there's definitely missed opportunities, not just from DC, but from Marvel as well. But yeah, like you said, with everything being under the Disney umbrella, hopefully, yeah, there'll be some cohesion going forward. Like, we will be seeing hopefully more of that. And I like I said last episode, I really have my fingers crossed that we haven't seen the last of the Netflix guys. Like, I'm really hoping they bring those guys back.
There's you know, I'm not sure which rumors sites and stuff that you go to, and some of the ones I go to, there's all sorts of speculation that as soon as certain deals run out, certain contracts run out, this is all getting unified, and we're looking at 2 to 5 to 10 years depending on which deal before they're all together again. But apparently it's the plan is to get everything in one house and have a, you know, big celebration when they are.
That's going to be awesome. So yeah, like, just before we move on to talking more about Marvel, DC, we got Wonder Woman 2 coming out next year. There's already been a teaser for that. The Shazam movie was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Grossly underrated, misunderstood character, but when people get it right, so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, perfectly cast, and it was a lot of fun to watch. And Aquaman was also good. I really, you know, Jason Momoa. Definitely not your traditional Aquaman, but I'm glad they cast him.
And there's one that was a joke for so many years and kind of ran its course, and you know, I have the giant DC black and white showcase collections, you know, for your original Golden Age stories. And I mean, it's all hokey and silly, but Superman got an upgrade. Wonder Woman got an upgrade. Batman did. No one ever did anything with Aquaman. He was still a Golden Age character.
Yep.
Until, you know, Peter David started this ball rolling, then ended with Momoa. And that's Aquaman now. Rightfully so.
Yep.
It's true to the original, but it's more updated and not a joke anymore.
And it's great that you brought up Peter David, because I'm going to throw this out there right now. Peter David, easily one of my favorite comic book writers of all time. Professor Hulk, we had in Endgame. That was a Peter David creation. The Momoa-style Aquaman, long hair, all that, that was Peter David. Talos, the Skrull from Captain Marvel, and spoilers, from Spider-Man Far From Home, he was actually a Peter David creation. So, yeah, a lot of the recent successes in comic book movies, I think, are attributed a lot to Mr. Peter David. That being said, I mentioned this last episode, I really want Marvel to do a Future Imperfect movie. Because to me, that is my absolute favorite Peter David story, Future Imperfect, The Incredible Hulk.
Well, I mean, even if you did a whole phase of the Maestro as the main bad guy, and don't tell who he is at first. Tease it and tease it and tease it, and then have a big reveal, and then your next Avengers or you know, whatever your big finale of the story is the full reveal. But that's, you know, now Thanos has placed that bar of you need a villain at least this strong to continue a whole series. Maestro could hang. He could absolutely be up there. And underused overall. You know, we've seen certain bad guys 100 times, but we've not seen him that much. He's not overexposed.
No. In Future Imperfect, he dies at the end of it, which was brilliant. But then he did... Peter David was starting to bring him back, like, towards the end of his run, but unfortunately he left the title under protest because Marvel was having some issues. They wanted to go back to the Savage Hulk, blah, blah, blah. So
yeah, he crammed the next 5 years of story into the last issue.
Pretty much, yeah. But he always intended to bring the Maestro back into the book. And I know he's been brought back. There was an event. He's been used a few times in the recent years. I think War of the Realms. No, not War of the Realms. I can't remember. There was a miniseries just a few years ago where they brought him back. And then there was Punisher 2099. And a bunch of other different characters that kind of got discarded. They kind of brought them all back for this miniseries. And I want to say that there was an issue where he's fighting Doctor Doom or something. Like a future version of Doctor Doom. But, yeah, no. Anyway, the Maestro is a very underutilized character. Thanos. For the comic book people... You know, we all knew who Thanos was. He's been an established character for decades. But for the movie, you know, general public, nobody knew who Thanos was. But now a lot more people know who Thanos is. And I, like you said, I would like to see that with the Maestro. You know, where people don't know this story, and then all of a sudden it's gonna hit them like a ton of bricks, and it's going to be awesome. Fingers crossed, I really hope. But yeah, before we close out the DC discussion, obviously JLA 2 is off the table.
Did you see that the original release date was a month or two ago?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
when they originally announced that the release date was like a month or two ago. It was supposed to be like the big summer 2019 movie, and all these people were posting about it online. Oh, just went on Justice League 2 today.
Wow.
Got my tickets that, you know, 2 years ago when they announced the date.
That is too bad. I went and watched JLA in the theater, and I've only ever seen it that one time. I've watched the scene where they're fighting, when they resurrect Superman, and I've seen that scene on YouTube, I think, once or twice. Because it does have that one cool moment where the Flash is, like, running, and then Superman, like, sees him. Because Superman can also... You know, is super fast. It did have its moments. There was definitely a lot of potential there. It's just, it's a shame that it went out on a whimper, you know, like it really is.
And maybe one of the problems for DC is how do we take our 1930s characters and make kids 80, almost 90 years later care? Mm-hmm. Well, it's a tough sell.
It is.
But maybe what we should do is take those, you know, using the term kids loosely, take people that grew up, watch certain things, are now in their 20s and working and don't have, you know, mortgages and children and stuff like that yet, and just have all this disposable income, and give them what they grew up on the movie screen, and that's Batman Beyond, Teen Titans, and Static Shock.
Yeah, that is one way. Yeah.
You know, you got your 20-year-olds, and you tell them that Batman Beyond is going to be on big screen. They're there. You tell them Teen Titans, not the DC, you know, universe or whatever their streaming one is, which was not, once the full season was out, was pretty good, and everyone had to, you know, poo-poo on the first episode because of certain things, not waiting to see the payoff. But if you put Teen Titans on the big screen, for all these kids that grew up with two versions of the cartoon over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And Static Shock, if we want to get more representation on the screen, I know Cyborg, everyone is Cyborg this and Cyborg that, but I think Static Shock's your best shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, not that is a good idea. But what I would also like them to do is, like I said, Shazam, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, those ones did work to a certain extent. Definitely continue with those films, but maybe use those to build up. Like, do the Marvel method, you know, where they had, you know, Iron Man, the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Captain America, Thor. They had 5 movies building up to the Avengers. Like, start using some of these, you know, second movies as a build-up to maybe, you know, a Justice League movie. You know, like, don't just jump into it. Like, they did, what, Man of Steel, and then Batman v Superman, and then, boom, and, Justice League.
Yeah, and, I mean, DC was, you know, DC was drive-thru, and Marvel was sitting down for a meal. Mm-hmm. And it's both food, but one's going to sit with you longer and mean more in the end.
Exactly. Like that analogy. But, yeah, no, like, honestly, like, if DC, if any of you guys are listening, go ahead and steal from Marvel. Like, go ahead and steal some of their ideas. Like, I mean, it is something that comic books have been doing, you know, the industry's been doing it for years. You know, like, what Marvel did worked. And it worked to a stellar level. Like, DC, do the same. You know, do that slow build-up, and then have the Justice League. Have it be a huge, you know, big event. And then build up to the next one. And then build up to the next one. Like, don't... Like, honestly, if they do another Justice League movie, don't bring Darkseid into it immediately. You know, you got to build up to him. Like, they built up to Thanos. They built, you know, and they built him up. They cast, you know, Josh Brolin, who was amazing. You know, you got to have the right guy. You got to build up to that big bad. And Darkseid, you know, he's the biggest, the baddest in DC. Like, you got to build up to that.
And there's, people forget when Iron Man came out, we didn't have an MCU yet. We just had Iron Man. Mm-hmm. We had the post-credit of a tease. But if Iron Man failed, that would have been nothing. There wouldn't have been an Avengers, and no one would have known it was even possible. It was only through building up. And I think if anything, DC or if any other comic company or, you know, studio that has a franchise wants to build up on a shared one, don't announce it's a shared universe from the beginning. Have some movies come out, have your little teasers and things like a Nick Fury that tie them all together, and then build up. Look at M. Night Shyamalan. You have Unbreakable. You have Split.
Yep.
And then Glass comes along, and you're like, oh, we already got two movies of character development that we didn't know were all tied in together. Let's go on Glass. Now we can hit the floor running.
Yep.
If you had, you know, I mean, Shazam has like a little Easter egg, but I want to say it's a connection in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had Amanda Waller at the end of Shazam, and then you have Wonder Woman 84 come out, and there's an Amanda Waller younger, but still, she's in there too.
Yep.
Is this cross thing, and then whoever, whatever you want to do next, Birds of Prey, I think, is next, if that still happens. Okay, so have her in that, and all of a sudden you have this connective character that when you try to do Justice League again, or if you want to call it something else, Teen Titans, or The Outsiders, or Justice Society, you know, JSA, whatever you want to do next for your big team up, you have this connection. And it's not Nick, you know, no, we don't need Nick Fury all the time, but it worked. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time to copy an A and get an A.
Yep. No, it's definitely, I have no problems with DC if they want to copy the Marvel method to making movies, because it absolutely worked.
Yeah, just don't announce it ahead of time, so then if one fails, the whole thing doesn't fail. Look at that attempt for the Universal Monsters universe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That they announced these huge plans, and it fell apart right away, and now the whole, now every character in that franchise is tarnished now. Whereas if they just released one movie and kept their mouth shut and weaved in these subtle connections, by the time you got to it all, people would have been thrilled and excited for it.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's what DC did as well. Like you mentioned that Justice League 2 was supposed to be out, you know, not too long ago. There was supposed to be a Cyborg movie. There was supposed to be
the Flash
Black
movie.
Adam. Yeah.
Another Superman.
Yeah. And the whole thing about casting The Rock as Black Adam, I don't know what's going to happen there. Because I can't see The Rock being a villain, but you know, I could be wrong.
And we made the point before, I could see The Rock as Namor.
Yeah.
And that's still an anti-hero, sometimes villain, but for some reason I could see it more.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
And I don't know why, because Black Adam and Namor definitely have similarities with being, you know, leaders, with being, they're not quite hero, they're not quite villain. They pursue their own agenda, and sometimes they're on the side of angels and sometimes they're not, depending on what that agenda is in the moment.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's, you know, it might even be the Samoan culture coming in with the Pacific that Namor makes more sense. It could be even something with like that for The Rock. But that's what's pushing it over.
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible. All right, well, let's move on to our next point that we've already kind of touched on a little bit, and that's what's next for the X-Men. The most recent movie, Dark Phoenix, honestly, I haven't seen it. From what I understand, it's a flop. I know it got pulled from a lot of theaters because people just were not going in.
I plan on buying it when, like, Walmart Black Friday, when it's $5 for the Blu-ray, and that's when I'll see it.
Well, honestly, like the last movie, like the Apocalypse movie, I haven't even seen it since. I watched it in the theater, and that was it. I have not seen it since. It was not good. I was not happy, especially with, you know, like...
No, but look at certain Marvel ones where if you're flipping through cable or you're at someone's house and it's on, you're going to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, well, I just did that the other night. Watched Iron Man 3 and Iron Man 2. Not entirely, but they were on TV, and we were just, let's just watch this. But yeah, with Apocalypse, I can't see myself doing that. Dark Phoenix, I'll probably watch it when it comes on the movie channel, or Netflix, whichever it goes to first. Like up in Canada, we kind of, you know, you got Netflix or you got what they call Crave TV, or I think in the East it's called Movie Central, the Movie Network. But anyway, you got those two choices, and the movies either go to either Netflix or the other one. So either way, I got both of them, so I'm waiting until it shows up. I'm not going to go to the movie theater. I think it is still coming to my local theater. I know the poster's still up, so we'll see. But what are your thoughts on an X-Men reboot? Like, if they are coming into the MCU, how long should we wait? Should we, you know, give it 5 years, 10 years, something like that? What's your opinion?
I mean, the problem is we don't even know what the next 5 years is. So we can't, you know, be sure of where it would fit in.
Mm-hmm.
On the last episode, and I'll refresh for people that aren't up to date or, you know, collecting them all. But I had an idea of your teaser, your end credit in Black Panther 2 could be the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Black Panther says, you know, hey, we need a group to discuss things and make tough decisions. And you go through, you know, the camera pans through the room where there's Black Panther. I had a way of bringing in Namor. You show Stephen Strange, maybe Bruce Banner. And then you don't even need to cast an actor. You could just show a stretchy hand in a wheelchair mm-hmm. and imply Reed Richards and Professor X are there. But I think one of the things that we forget as viewers of TV shows, movies, whatever, is we're watching this story. Mm-hmm. That does not mean we're watching the entire story. You could have something take place in the background, a side adventure. You could have, who would be your leader right now for Avengers? You could have Banner, you know, Professor Hulk, say, oh, hey, yeah, I've known who these guys are for a while. Why didn't you mention it? Well, it didn't come up, and we're kind of doing other things. We're fighting Thanos, we're fighting Ultron. Like, I didn't feel like saying, hey, guys, guess who I met last week?
Yeah.
Like, we're only seeing, you know, 2 hours of these people's stories. We're not seeing what they did, you know, last week when there wasn't a big bad guy.
Yeah.
So you could say this stuff has been here all along, but it didn't matter for the story. There's an episode of Justice League Unlimited where your main A-team heroes are fighting the bad guy and Booster Gold's on crowd control. And he ends up having this incredible side adventure. Absolutely heroic. Saves the day. And then he gets in trouble at the end because he wasn't where Batman told him to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter that he was a hero as well. He had this crazy side adventure while they were fighting the bad guy. And that could happen all the time. You know, we wish the Defenders, the Marvel Netflix group, was there. Well, maybe they were. Maybe they were doing an adventure, and we get a movie where it's like, oh, hey, while this was going on, here was this side story happening. You know, meanwhile is a word that existed in comics for a while. So we could say these are happening at the same time, and they're going to meet up in the end. And we don't really get that. So I think you could say the X-Men's been there all along. Currently, I like the idea that the Fantastic Four existed in the 60s. And we're lost. You could have Doom's mm-hmm. been there all along, but why? There's been no reason to bring him up yet. You could have Black Panther at the United Nations, and all of a sudden the representative of Latveria speaks up.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there all along. Go back to Peter David. What if we brought in not X-Men, but brought in X-Factor?
Yeah.
Here's a government group of superheroes. There's all these superheroes in line doing their own thing in the Sokovia Accords, and you need to be registered. Guess what? We got Team Mutants. What are mutants? Here you go. Here's the exposition, and we're off and running.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
but I want to treat it like they've been there all along, but we didn't have to bring them up yet. My only thing is I really like the idea of Fantastic Four, Space Race, Cold War era, Lost in Time, but we just did that with Steve Rogers. And then I don't want an entire movie of four people figuring out modern day. That's not the story I want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, yeah. But like I said, maybe.
But also, like, I kind of think Fantastic Four, the eras I've liked to Fantastic Four are not when they're involved in the main storyline.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the main overall arc of Marvel is, they're not involved. They're off exploring the new world, the next thing, the multiverse, the negative zone, you know, outer space, whatever, that will be your next crossover in 2 or 3 years when everyone else gets there. But I like the Fantastic Four as innovators, as explorers of Marvel. So you could easily put that in the movie. Hey, how come you didn't help us fight Thanos? Oh, because we were off doing something else. Like, sorry we weren't on call for you guys. We've been here. Yeah. But we got our own thing going on. You know, and do we know who bought Avengers Tower yet?
Yeah, we know. Wait, well, we know they moved out, but yeah.
Yeah, but we don't know officially who has it yet, and there's a lot of places that could go.
Yep. Actually, that was another movie I watched this weekend. It was the Spider-Man Homecoming. All right, well, let's move on to our final topic of discussion, and that is other comic book movies. So we're going to move away from, for the most part, Marvel and DC, and we're going to talk about the other guys. Like, what other comic book movies would we like to see be done? Unfortunately, we got a new Hellboy this year, which apparently was a flop.
I'm willing to think that's... Like, Dark Phoenix, I think, is a bad movie. Hellboy, I think, is a bad marketing.
Yeah. Well, and a missed opportunity. Like, because there were so many people that were clamoring for, you know, Ron Perlman and Guillermo del Toro to do a third Hellboy movie, and they were both on board. But for whatever reason, I'm not sure which studio has Hellboy, but they decided to do kind of a reboot, which apparently, like, I didn't even go see it. So I can't really speak to how bad it was. I just heard it wasn't good, so I decided to wait till it comes out on TV. But I would like to see, you know, I would like to see the Ron Perlman, Guillermo del Toro. Maybe they could, you know, salvage this new one. I'm not sure, but... but one comic book that haven't read a bunch, but I've started reading it, is really good. I would love to see a movie, and that's Fear Agent. I would love to see a Fear Agent movie. You know, it's got comedy aspects to it. You got the space aspect to it. You know, very much akin to, like, say, Guardians of the Galaxy, or Rick and Morty, if you are you know, the animated realm, but I just think Fear Agent would be a great movie to see made into a movie. Kevin, what's a movie you would like to see?
Sorry, you saying Fear Agent just floored me. I think I read that like maybe 8 years ago, maybe even longer, but that'd be. It'd be so easy, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It'd be so easy, too. And when I read Fear Agent, you know, it was before, because it was that long ago, so it's before Rick and Morty and before so many other things, I got a real heavy metal vibe from it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love that animated movie. I'm like, you could do This is Fear Agent. You could do animated, you could do it live action, but it would be so easy to do. And get, I don't think it would be, you know, hundreds of millions, but it'd be dedicated cult for sure. At least like a Buckaroo Banzai level.
Yeah, definitely, potentially. I think it could, like, if you cast the right person, you know, like, it, you know, could be akin to, like, say, Men in Black. Like, I know the most recent Men in Black didn't do so well, but, you know, like, it could be, like, that type of territory. Like, the first three did reasonably well, from what I understand. But yeah, what comic book movie would you want to see?
You know, because I don't know why, but now my mind's going to, what could you easily do and make a good amount of money on and get, you know, sequels and everything? I am shocked they have not done Danger Girl yet, especially with another Charlie's Angels reboot. Danger Girl would be so easy to do and make such a good amount of money, and then you got toys, and yeah, that's a franchise waiting to happen.
Yeah.
You could cast new people in every movie. I'm stunned it hasn't happened. I don't know why I thought of it earlier. There's something we talked about that got it going in my mind, but I think Shadowhawk would be real easy to do, an R-rated story where you don't, and go with the original comic where you don't know who's under the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And have the audience be guessing the entire time. Go full art, you know, he doesn't kill, but he breaks the backs and, you know, hurts people and all. Cool looking suit would look great on film, you know, have a good cinematographer on it. I don't think we'll ever get Spawn 2, despite everything Todd says.
Yeah.
I would love it. I would love another try. I don't think it's happening.
Unless he completely funds it himself, which he could, I think, because he is quite rich. Because isn't he supposed to be directing it too?
That's a big rumor. He's going to write and direct it.
Yeah.
But that's been the big rumor for, what, 5 years? Maybe even ten now?
Yeah.
And he lost the Angela character along the way.
Yeah, Angela, that'd be an interesting story if Marvel decided to make a movie.
But do you do her as Asgardian or standalone?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, that's a tough one.
It could be too complicated. But, you know, actually... Because she was with sort of a more modern day version of Guardians, you could, you know, because we asked, do you recast Iron Man? Do you do something different? I'm sure your Guardians cast is going to do a third. You could get a whole new cast and do Guardians 4 with a completely different team and a completely different group of heroes, like Marvel has done, and have it be just as successful. Angela, Moondragon, Beta Ray Bill, Quasar.
I was kind of wondering if they were going to go that route, like with Guardians 2, because, I mean, they had Sylvester Stallone, Ving Rhames.
The original crew, yeah. Yep.
Ving Rhames and, was it Michelle Yao that was there as well?
I'm not sure enough.
Yeah, I think there was. I'm positive she was in it. But, yeah, like, I thought that's the route they were going to go. Like, they were going to bring in some old school people to play old school characters that we haven't seen yet.
You even have your Star-Lord type character, your Earthling, who is your POV into this new world of aliens and other planets and all, in Vance Astro. Well, Vance mm-hmm. Astrovic in that version. But there's your audience point of view character already built in.
Yep. Yeah, they definitely could go. Yeah, there's so much they could do.
I don't know if you, if we're going to talk about anything, Saga's the biggest book on the market now. That there's got to be a bidding war
mm-hmm.
at this point.
And yeah, it's totally made for. Well, Saga could even be a TV show.
Especially if the Sandman thing actually happens, then there's no reason Saga couldn't.
Yeah, like Saga could, like that could easily be on HBO, like and it would be really cool. One book that was rumored as of May 5th, 2016, to be in development, but I have no idea what's happening to it now because 20th Century Fox has now been bought by Disney. And that is Irredeemable. That's the Mark Waid, I can't remember the artist's name. But basically, it's his version of Superman if Superman lost his mind. Irredeemable, is it the Plutonian? Or is it Captain Plutonian? I can't remember. I just want to say Plutonian. But he's like the most powerful superhero on this world. He's essentially Superman. And then he just snaps. And he decides, he's going to take over the world. And he basically, like, the opening scene of the first issue is basically him killing, like, the Batman of that world, like, his best friend. I can't remember. I want to say he was called, like, the Blue Hornet or something. I can't remember. But anyway, he kills him and he kills his family. And then basically most of the series is him. Well, the first part of the series is basically this world's version of the Justice League is on the run. Like, they're running from this guy because they can't beat him because he's too powerful. But they're trying to figure out how they can stop him. So one of the plot threads is they're trying to find his the Plutonians' like arch nemesis, because he's the only one that almost killed him. So I can't remember what they're called, but basically I just want to say like they're the Justice League. So basically the Justice League is like trying to find this guy, this villain, to help them stop him.
Trying to find Luther.
Yeah, essentially. And then there's this whole plot line where like the super like his villain was actually in love with him, and that's why he wanted to kill him so bad, because he didn't love him back, and so on and so forth. Like it gets very complicated, but it's so interesting. And it, like I said, it's like super, what if Superman lost his mind? And, like, this guy, you know, kills anybody and everybody. And there's, like, this one character. I can't remember what his name was. But he's basically, like, the Jimmy Olsen to his Superman. And he's the only one that knows, like, all his secrets. And the Plutonian loves this guy, like he's his, like as a friend. So he doesn't have the heart to kill him. So, but he can't risk him revealing his secrets to the Justice League or whatever they're called. So he actually gives his friend a lobotomy, like using his laser vision. He uses his laser vision to give this guy a lobotomy, so he can't remember, you know, the things that he's been told. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's a very dark series. It was, Boom Studios, was doing that book. I want to say it ran from 2010 to, like, 2014 or 2013.
Now, Boom's actually on this new app called Graphite, which is, they call it, it's like a Netflix for comics is what they're calling it. Okay. So it's actually comics with, it's a free download. There's tons of stuff free to read on there. I know Boom's one of the studios on there, and they just have ads. You read like 5-10 pages of a comic, there's an ad that you have to deal with before you can continue. But it's okay. Free. All right, big deal. I'll deal with that.
Yeah.
And then through the ad revenue, the creators get paid.
Oh,
so it's nice. All, you know, legal, and everyone gets paid for it. But Boom's on there. I got to see if this run is on there too.
Yeah, definitely check out. There's two series. There's Irredeemable, which is, like I said, the Superman analogy, where what happens if Superman goes crazy. And then there's one called Incorruptible. Now, Incorruptible, basically what it is, it's a supervillain decides to become good. So, like, I can't remember what his name was, but he basically witnessed the Plutonian, like, slaughter, like, this, a bunch of people. And he just hid because he was scared. And then he decides he's going to, you know, use his powers to, you know, do good. And they actually face off a couple times. Like, they do a couple crossovers between each other. And his power, this guy, he was like, he was like a thug or something. And then he did the science experiment thing. So the longer he stays up, the more indestructible he becomes. So, yeah, like, the Plutonian can, like, punch the crap out of him, and it doesn't hurt. But the moment he, like, has a catnap and falls asleep, even if it's for, like, a minute, if he wakes up, he's completely vulnerable. And then he has to be careful. Like, so, yeah, so that's the problem with his power is, I mean, the longer he stays up, I mean, yeah, he's invulnerable, but he's tired. He's not thinking straight. He wants to have a nap, but he knows as soon as he naps, he's vulnerable. It's interesting. It's an interesting take. And his sidekick was a girl called Jailbait. And because she was Jailbait, she was, you know. So when he decides to become a hero, he can't have a relationship with her anymore because she's underage. So yeah, it's interesting. Like there's like I said, the two series, Irredeemable's the main one, Incorruptible's like the side series that he did as well. Mark Waid. Yeah, definitely worth checking out. And yeah, like I said, 20th Century Fox did have the rights to this Irredeemable film, and it was rumored as far back as May 5th, 2016. But now with, you know, Disney taking over, you know, will we see it? You know, I really hope we do. But unfortunately, who knows?
They officially announced they killed Mouse Guard as part of the buyout, so.
Oh, really?
We'll see what happens with any other. Yeah, and there was someone leaked special effects test footage, and it looked beautiful. But yeah, officially dead from the Fox buyout. I thought of something else. Just a franchise that I'm shocked we didn't see, and I know it was sold at some point. I don't know who owns anymore, if anyone. But I could see a CGI animated trilogy and enough merchandise to support Christmases for as long as it took for that trilogy to come out and beyond. I'm amazed we haven't seen Bone yet.
Yeah, that would Bone be.
Bone would be Harry Potter for a generation.
Mm-hmm.
It would be that level of magic, honestly.
Yep.
For so many kids, and then adults. It would be something that kids want to see. You know, parents would take them into a movie and go, oh my god, this is amazing. I'm enjoying it as an adult. I can't wait to see it again. Oh, there's a book too, let's go buy it. Oh, there's toys, there's stuffed animals, there's sleeping bags, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like a new Disney level movie you would see it around like you're seeing all the Toy Story stuff now. Yeah. You could do at least a trilogy, if not more, off of what's already there, and I can't believe it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it is crazy. A CGI movie, like, yeah, that'd be fantastic. All right, well, I think we could call this an episode. Okay. Yeah, the future of comic book movies. This is definitely a topic that we will definitely come back to at some point. There's so much more that we could talk about, but we
could see after San Diego or after the Disney Expo if we were right on anything in the last two episodes of podcast that we've theorized.
Oh yeah, definitely. Probably in the fall we'll come back, and you know, after they have San Diego and whatever other cons that might happen, we'll definitely come back in the fall and do an episode where we talk about some of the stuff that was discussed and see if some of our theories was right. But our next episode on the schedule is called What's Your iTunes? And one of the alternate titles we have for this is Bytunes, as in it's going bye-bye. So we're just talking about music and our favorite singers and songs we like to karaoke and that sort of thing. So that'll be our next episode. So before we go, let's play that little game of where can we find you on the internet. And Kevin, where can we find you, sir?
You can find my main site, teamhellions.com. I have a themed post every day of the week is something. I'm also in the middle of the 1983 project where I'm discovering new movies, comics, music, everything from 83. Purposely started doing that because my kid is 5 turning 6 this year, and that's when I was 5 turning 6. So I'm just looking at similarities, differences, and I kind of think I stumbled across something this month that might take this project through the rest of the year. You can follow me on Twitter at Team Hellions, like the Team Hellions page on Facebook, and Kevin Hellions on Instagram. I'm everywhere.
Excellent. And you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Chris Lock 1701, CHRISLOC 1701. We do have a group on Facebook, so type in the Pop Culture Pub. You can request to join the group, and I will most likely allow you to join because that's just the kind of guy I am. And I got to say, you know, like I like to post quite a bit, like pop culture references and so on and so forth, to the Pop Culture Pub group. For the most part, it's a pretty good group. I've only ever had to delete one comment that someone made, and had to private message them because, you know, what they said was not really appropriate. So it's a very lighthearted group. It's a lot of fun, I think, because there's so many groups on Facebook that are really toxic. You know, like, it sucks. You know, there's so many trolls out there. I like to think the Pop Culture Pub is, for the most part, very troll-free. Like I said, I've only ever had to, you know, call or, you know, bring out my Facebook police badge once and be the bad guy. But and even then, it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't. It's for the most part, a very troll-free group. So I suggest you check it out. And that's the Pop Culture Pub on Facebook. I also do a blog every once in a while. It's called Random Nerdness. So you can check that out at randomnerdness.blogspot.com. All right, so on behalf of myself and Chris Lockhart and Mr. Kevin Decent, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to the Pop Culture Pub podcast. This was our Future of Comic Book Movies discussion, and we will see you in the not-too-distant future.